just got to thinking about this tonight. I'd hate to fall off of this platform, amen. I'd bounce and hit the ceiling. Well, it's good to be in the house of God tonight with you. And anymore, it's good to be anywhere, amen. And I was just telling somebody tonight, I'm not sure how the next year is going to go. I've got the report from a doctor about my kidneys are not doing very well right now. So they're considering a few different things, but I won't know anything to get back to in September. I'm just praying God will let me keep going for a while yet, amen, before he shuts me down where I can't travel. I still travel, I mean, as much as I can, but the long trips will be done by then. There will be no more 5 and 6 weeks away from my wife. I don't know if she's going to like that because she likes this free time, amen, you know. And I was saying the other day that I told her, maybe some of you already heard this, probably, but I told her, I said, you are not allowed to die before me. And she just looks at me and says, well, here's why. Because if you do, who's going to mow the lawn? Who's going to paint the porch? She just did all that and said, who's going to do my dishes and who's going to cook for me? Who's going to do my laundry and who's going to clean the house? Amen. I mean, I have no idea because I'm not lazy. No, I could do all that, but I like picking on her. And she needs to be picked on now, and let me tell you. But it's good. Sonny, good to see you. Now you're still next to that man sitting there. What's his name? The guy beside you there, you know. Marty and I, Pastor Schott and I, known each other for ever since I got saved, 51 years. And met him the first time, and Sonny, we've known you just as long, you know. And he grew up in the same church that after he got saved, the same church my wife attended in New Lyme, Ohio. I just visited Pastor Bennett the other day. My brother and I went down to see him down in the nursing home. Had a great time with him, you know. And boy, I tell you, what a man of God he was and still is. And thank the Lord for him. And we had a number of preachers come out of that church. I forget what, 8 or 9 of us came out of that church. Something like that. And I tell you, he was quite a preacher and just quite a man of God that just invested his life in people. Amen. And I'm sure glad he invested some of that time in me. And boy, what a man of God he was and is even yet today. Well, Psalm chapter 57 with me this evening, if you would. The book of Psalms, chapter 57. And you forgive me if I don't walk away from the pulpit. I stopped that about a year ago when I started falling down all the time. And I'm not kidding you, man. I hit the ground hard. Just a while back here, my wife and I were in our driveway. I just had the driveway redone and graveled, new gravel in it, and enlarged it. And we were putting a sign up because the Amazon people pull in my driveway, and then they go to turn around. When they back up, they knock my retaining wall down. And I got to go out and move all them big railroad ties and put them back in and straighten the stakes up. And they've done it 2 times, and Amazon won't do anything because I didn't have any proof, you know. And I watched them do it. I mean, right there's the proof. I saw them do it. I stood right in my shed looking out the door, watched her hit my thing, and she gets up and she moves it and then drives it. And I said, like that, and she gets in the van and takes off, you know. And so I put video cameras out there now. I put 4 of them out there. I'm not going to miss a thing, amen. Let me tell you. And then my wife and I were, I'm putting a fence stake in to put a sign on it out by the, before they get up to where they could turn around, because I don't want them to turn around anymore. And it says no turn around. And then on top of it says this property is under video surveillance, you know. And I turned around to move, and I got a little garden tractor with a trailer behind it, and I ran my leg into the garden tractor. Into the trailer rather, and when I fell because my left foot didn't catch up with my right knee, you know, and I mean I went down hard, and my arm hit the trailer and threw it up in the air, and I couldn't catch myself, and I face planted right in that gravel. I am not kidding you, man. I'll show you a picture later on, Pastor Schott, you know, and I was a mess. And my wife says, you need to go to the hospital. I said, no. I said, you know, I mean, I was full of blood. I had blood, and then I took my jacket, held my jacket up, and held up my face. And she went, got me a wet rag and a dry one, so I could just put that cold compress on her for a while. Well, it wasn't bleeding. It quit bleeding. She said, well, you know, you cut your nose. I said, okay, I'll go put a bandaid on. I'll be fine. She said, no, you're going to the hospital. I said, no, I'll put a bandaid on. She said, I made an executive decision. You're going to the hospital. I said, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So,
like that, like I said that, amen. And, I did. She said, you're going because I can see bone. Because my glasses hit that, tore up my brand new glasses I had. Hit that, put a big V in the top of my nose underneath the bridge of, on the top of the bridge of my nose, got four stitches in it. And then I'm in the hospital and I'm laying in the emergency room and they're getting ready. I was there 3 hours. You go figure, you know. Anyway, I'm there and she's been telling me, here's what she said, now that you walk because of your right leg, because of that ankle blown out, and because of that left foot that left foot flops on me because it's a dropped foot. And she said, you sound like Frankenstein coming through the house. So she's sitting there at the end of the bed, and she looks at me and she says, you don't just sound like Frankenstein, now you look like him. Man alive, Sonny, can you believe my wife saying that to me? Yeah, she knows, amen. Well, Psalm 57, let's get on into the Bible tonight, and boy, God is good. I just want to say that. Let me just reiterate that again. God is good all the time, and all the time, that's right, amen. And I sure appreciate the Lord and what he's done in my life. And I want to look at this psalm I did this evening, Psalm 57, and let me just read a couple of verses here, beginning of verse 1. And then we'll get into the word here for a little bit. He says this, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. This is a time in David's life when he is hiding in the cave on the run from Saul. And David is crying out to God. In fact, if you read this text and in verse 1, you see that David's saying, hide me. In verse 2, you would see that David says, hear me. In verse 3, you would see that David says, help me. And then in verse 7 through 11, in verse 7, he makes this statement, my heart is fixed on the Lord, or fixed on God. My heart is fixed on him. And so I'd like to speak to you for a few moments this evening, is what is your heart fixed on? I'm not going to preach all those points, but what is your heart fixed on? And I want to begin with a simple thought. What would make my heart fixed on God? That's what I want to begin with tonight. What would make my heart me? What would make my heart fixed on God? Well, there's 9 times in the Word of God, or maybe more than that, but 9 that I have dug out that I'm going to use tonight. I'm going to actually 8 of them because Matthew and Luke are saying the same thing. When we come to the end of this, you'll see. But in Psalm 57, verse 1, he says this again, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. In the shadow of thy wings. And I want to tell you what, I look at this, number 1, that it, the shadow of his wings is a place of safety. What makes my heart fixed on God? Because I feel safe in his hands. I feel safe in his hands. No matter what's going on, and boy, I tell you, some of you have gone through some difficult things in your life. Amen. Amen. Some hard things, some hardships, some things that nobody else in this room maybe would understand about you. They might not understand. And sometimes people will tell you that, well, you know, they'll tell you something about how they're feeling or what's going on, and you might make the statement, well, I understand that. Well, we say that, but can I be honest with you? I don't always understand that, amen. And you don't understand maybe what I've been through in my life in some things, and I don't understand what you've been through. But God understands it all. He knows what you're going through. He knows the hardship. He knows the difficulties. He knows the problems. He knows the overwhelming that you get in your life sometimes when you don't know which way to turn. Let me tell you, just turn to him. Just turn to him, because you are underneath the shadow of his wings. And David, in this terrible time when somebody was trying to kill David. He says, I'm under the shadow of thy wings. I make my refuge. He says, under the shadow of thy wings, I will make my refuge. So to me, number one, it is a place of safety, a place where you can go, a place where you can get some things that will help you as a born again believer saved by the very grace of God. Number two, we see this in Psalm chapter 17. You can turn there to Psalm chapter 17. If you want to, if not, I'm going to turn there, but I've got it written in front of me anyway. Because sometimes I notice that my eyes don't focus anymore, Pastor Schott. And, so I got the bigger print on my tablet. Amen. But I try to read it when I can because I like reading my Bible. Amen. Boy, when you come to church, can I be honest with you? It'd be a good thing just to bring your Bible with you. Amen. I know we like, a lot of us, a lot today, they like the electronic Bible, amen. But I like the Bible, you know. There's something about that for me I'm not condemning if you use something else. Don't understand that. I'm just saying I like to be able to have the Bible and be able to pick up the Word of God like this and to be able to look at the Word of God. And then go down to chapter 17 and verse 8, and he makes this statement. He says, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Number one, again, it's a place of safety. Number two is where he hides that which is most precious to him, the apple of the eye. How many of you ever heard the term somebody might have said to you when you were younger and you were falling in love? They might have said, you're the apple of my eye. Amen. Remember that term? I don't know. I think Jenny said maybe I was the thorn in her eye. I'm not sure. But, I don't know. But no, when you're in love, I mean, man, there's something else. Amen. But, you know, when you get older, it's more like, you're the rotten apple of my eye, maybe. I don't know. But, this is a place of something that underneath his wing, it's a place most precious to him. That's where he puts the most precious thing. And when you're saved by the very grace of God, you are so very, very, very precious to him. Boy, he loves you. You know, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He never casts you away. He never brings up your past sin when you've confessed it. I've said a number of times, Pastor Schott, I'd make the statement sometimes, I said, I'm glad that God is not just a God of first chances, but he's a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. And I had a fellow correct me on that one time, an old preacher. He's about 92 years old. He made this statement to me. He said, now, Brother Mike, when he forgives you and you confess your sin to him, he puts it as far as the east is from the west. He puts it at the bottom of the deepest sea. He remembers it no more, and he puts it behind his back. So he said, therefore, he's always the God of the first chance. Because he forgets everything else. Amen. It's gone. You confess it to God, my friend. Listen, now hear me. That's how precious you are to him, to forgive you. No matter what you do, no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, no matter what's going on in your life, he will forgive you anytime, any place, anywhere. That's God. That's because you're so precious to him that he loves you so much, he's willing to forgive you no matter what you've done, even as a born-again believer. And it's always the God of the first chance. When you repent, it's forgotten. It's done. It's over with. Amen. Well, hallelujah to God. Well, David flees. David says in verse one again. Remember that it's a place of safety. And then in Psalm 17:8, it's where he hides that which is most precious to him. And in Psalm chapter 36, let's go over to Psalm in chapter 36 with me for a moment, if you would please. Psalm in chapter 36. And he makes a statement in the book of Psalms in the 36th Psalm. Now watch this. Psalm chapter 36, beginning in verse 7, he says this. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow Listen to that. The children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in the light, in thy light shall we see light. So here we see, I wrote down that it speaks of his great provision. His great provision, the shadow of his wings, his great provision. Under the shadow of his wings, that means you don't remove yourself from there. You're under his wings. He'll take care of you. He'll meet your every need. You do what's right as a believer in Jesus Christ. God will, he will not let you down. Now, I believe I have probably let God down sometimes, but God has never let me down. He's never abandoned me, no matter what's going on. He's never stopped blessing me, no matter how much I have or how little I have. It's still God blesses me over and over and over and over again. And I was reading this morning in devotions, I was reading about, bless the Lord, O my soul. Boy, humble ourselves before a holy God, Pastor Shaw, and shout hallelujah in our heart to him. And praise his holy name for what he's done in our lives, the believers in Jesus Christ. He's blessed me so much, I ought to bless him with my lips. Amen. I ought to bless him with my voice. I ought to not be afraid to say something about Jesus Christ out in public. I ought to be a witness for him. And you need to be also. Amen. That's not just for the preachers. That's not for the evangelists. We ought to all be involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ for those in the world who are lost and sin sick and are dying, man. I want to tell you, we see less and less souls saved every year because we see less and less people committed to giving out the gospel every year. We need soul winners. We need people to hand out tracts. We need people to witness. We need people to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, amen, and give them the gospel of Christ. I went to dinner tonight on the way here. I stopped over at over there on 55 Salinas, the pizza place. And man, I got some lasagna there. I want to tell you what: if you took a little piece of lasagna and put it on top of your head, your tongue would lick your brains out trying to get to it. I'm just saying, it was good lasagna. But I gave a tract to the guy when I was done and witnessed to him sitting there at the table. And I put a nice tip in there. I told you last night, you're going to leave a tract for the nice tip in there. Don't be a tightwad, amen. But you ever been through a drive through like a Burger King or Wendy's or McDonald's? Let me see your hand. Have you ever given the girl at the window a tip? I was at Wendy's in Adrian, Michigan, where we live now. And before I pulled in the parking lot, and immediately when I started to go to that drive, before I even got to the drive through, God said, when you pay her, give her all the money in your pocket. Now, I usually don't have much money in my pocket. So I pulled up the drive-thru window and I paid my bill, and then I just said, are you allowed to receive tips? And she was crying, standing there before I ever started talking to her. Something was going on. And she said, yes. So I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a $20 bill and I handed it to her. Got my food and I got around the other side of the window. He's getting ready to pull out of the parking lot. And the Lord says, I'm telling you, just as plain as day in my heart, the Lord says, I thought I told you to give everything in your pocket. Okay. I pull back around to the drive-up window and she looks at me and she's crying. She says, thank you so much for that tip. I said, well, here. I said, God won't let me get away with it. I said, this is yours. That girl got $74 off of me before I pulled on that parking lot. You know, I think we just need to do what God would have us do. And I gave her a tract. Gave her one of my tracts. My address is on there. And she told me at the window when I gave her that money. No, she wrote me a note and sent me a Christmas card. Because this is right before Christmas. And I got a Christmas card a couple days after Christmas. And it said in that Christmas card, thank you so much for what you did to help me. She said, my husband just left me and I had no money for my kids for Christmas. God had a plan. You don't know what God will do when you just do what he wants you to do. You're under his wing. He provides for you. He's the great provider. And listen, don't be afraid to share something that God tells you to share it. Amen. Because why? Because he'll meet your needs later on. I mean, he'll take care of you. It didn't break me, Pastor Schott. Not far from it, but it didn't break me, amen. I remember sometimes we'd be paying bills, and my wife says, how are we doing? I said, well, I got $5 left in the bank until next month, so let's suck it up, amen. And then God always gives me another meeting somewhere to preach and get a little love offering anyway. But it speaks of his great provision, how great his provision is for you in the shadow of his wings. Listen, why should my heart be fixed on God? Look what he's done for me. Look what he's done for you. Our heart ought to be fixed on him. No matter the problem, no matter the hardship, no matter the difficulty, your heart needs to be fixed on God. And then look at Psalm chapter 61. We're going to look at Psalms in chapter 61. And over in Psalm 61, let me get myself over there. My fingers don't want to work anymore, amen. Let me tell you, my mouth don't want to work. My body don't want to work. My brain don't want to work. That's the sad one right there, you know. What did I just say? Oh, no, I got it. He said in Psalm chapter 61, verse 2 to 4, he says, look it. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings. This speaks of his great comfort. His great comfort. The comfort that you get under the cover of God's wing when you get saved by the grace of God. The comfort that he gives to you in the middle of the night. I tell you what. I have some terrible dreams sometimes. Sometimes they're not too terrible. Sometimes they're funny. One night I was kicking my wife in my sleep. And we have a king-size bed. And she says, she wakes me up and she says, Mike, what are you doing? I said, what? She said, you're kicking me. I said, so I laughed. She said, what were you doing? I said, trying to start my Harley. Amen. You know, the old kickstart. That's trying to start in my sleep. Another time I had my little son Cale in my arms. He's not little now. You know, he's over 300 pounds and he's married and 32. But, you know, when he was a baby, I had a dream that he was in my arms. I was holding and I was running from KKK. I'm not kidding you, you know, and so I'm hiding in these bushes and they're going by me. And as they're going by me, I'm kicking them and I'm kicking them and I'm kicking them. And then what, she wakes me up again, but this time she touches my shoulder because I'm not waking up. And she said, and I felt like one of them are back here trying to grab him on my arms, and I swing and I just missed her. I'm not kidding you. I've got dents in my wall above my head in my bed. I was fighting Muhammad Ali one night and I whooped him. Now that was really a dream. That was not a nightmare, man. If he whooped me, it was a nightmare, let me tell you. Yeah, I would never have had a chance against that man. I could fight, but boy, he could fight, amen. Well, let me tell you. This speaks of God's great comfort for you and I. And when I wake up like that at night, you know what I do? I just pray. I pray. I've had some other, I could tell you other dreams of just, you know, but I just pray. And I get that comfort and I'm able to go back to sleep. And I don't finish the dream when I go back to sleep. Amen. I'm glad. I'm glad I sleep and I sleep good because I feel I have the comfort of God underneath his wings. Man, what is your heart fixed on tonight? What is your heart fixed on? Well, my heart's fixed on a lot of things. It's fixed on what he does for me and how he meets my needs and how he provides and how he gives me great comfort. And then if you look at Psalm chapter 63, just a couple it might be on the same page for you. I have a Cambridge, so mine's on the same page than mine. In Psalm 63, down in verse 3, he said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. In the shadow of his wings is a place of rejoicing, a place of rejoicing. We ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. I'm not kidding you. Too many, you know, we say that we're saved, amen, And, but boy, we walk around like this so many times. Man, what's wrong with a smile, man? What's wrong? Where's the joy of the Lord in your life? We've allowed the world to rob us of our joy. And we think that if we show the joy of the Lord, you might not be like me, but Brother Shad, I've jumped up in meetings before. And, hallelujah! You know, I mean, you know, and my home church, I scare them to death when I do that, amen, so I gotta be careful, you know, because we are like, we're a Yankee church. And I'm not a Yankee in heart. I mean, all my relatives are West Virginia, amen. And if I go down there and I come out of there, I'm in Tennessee with other relatives and come back up north, Pastor Shot, and I talk like that. I just sound like they do down there, you know. And amen. You know why we say amen, don't you? Because it just sounds good. No, it's praising the Lord and saying we agree with God, amen. Well, hallelujah. It's a place of rejoicing. Let's rejoice in the Lord. And again, he says, let rejoice. And again, I say what? Rejoice. We ought not to be afraid to have a joyful attitude and a joyful spirit. You say, Brother Mike, do you ever get down about some things? Yes. But then I remind myself of who I am. And I remind myself, I didn't know my physical father, but I know my heavenly father. Amen. And I know whatever he's doing for me and whatever's going on, it's for my benefit. My benefit. And if I'm doing wrong, it's for my benefit to get me right. And if I'm doing right, it's for my benefit to get better. Because you're either going to get bitter or better. Bitter or better. Let's get better and not bitter. Amen. Let's just do right by God. He loves you. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to rejoice in him. He wants you to praise him and give thanksgiving for him and whatever he's done for you. You ought to have a joyful spirit. You ought to have a smile on your face. Amen. All right, let's try that real quick. Everybody, right? Smile. Then you see a bunch of smiles. That's good. Woo! Boy, I tell you. Now that looks nice. Amen. It's almost like there's a bunch of halos out here except for Pastor Shot. Everybody else is. If you go with me now, look at Psalm chapter 91. The 91st Psalm, over in Psalm in chapter 91. In Psalm chapter 91, we read this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, he says. Then he says this, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the sword, from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I wrote down that this is a place, under his wings, is a place of deliverance. Deliverance. He takes care of me, he says, my buckler and my shield. He protects me. He delivers me. He helps me. And sometimes we made this statement for years, and I have, and sometimes we say, you need victory. Let's just get victory. But can I be honest with you? When you came to the cross of Calvary, and you got saved by the grace of God, you really got all the victory you need for your Christian life. But what you need now, if there's something going on in your life, you need deliverance. And this is a place of deliverance for you and for me, under his wings, a place where I feel comfort, a place where I can come, and a place where when I come before him that I know and I seek his face, I know that he's going to help me. He's going to protect me. He's going to take care of me. I get thinking of a story about this little, they said this little fat preacher in Chicago one time, Pastor Shot, had led a man's wife to the Lord. And man, she got gloriously saved. And the man did not like the preacher. He hated that his wife had changed so much. And so the man was on one side of the street one night, and he saw the preacher on the other side. And he pulls out the gun and he said, I'm going to kill you, preacher. And the preacher started running zigzags. I bet you can't hit a moving target. Amen. Well, then you know what that did? That made that man think that preacher's crazy. as he was. So he went to see the preacher and he got saved. Amen. This blows my mind, you know. But that's God. Deliverance. He takes care of you. He meets your needs. You say, well, what would happen to that preacher if he got shot? He'd be in heaven. Amen. What's better than that? Glory. Amen. I tell you, being in heaven's a good place to be for you and me. And then go to Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read right from a tablet, but go right to Luke chapter 13. And this says the same thing that it says in Matthew, and there's two places in Scripture. One's here, and one's in Matthew. And in Luke chapter 13 and down to verse 34, Luke 13 and down to verse 34, and we will read this. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. This is a place for the saints or believers to gather together. A place to gather together. Under the wings. You know, one day when Jesus comes back, or when we die and go to the grave, I'm going to heaven when I die and go to the grave. And if Jesus comes back in the rapture of the church, I'm going up. Anyway, I'm going up. One way I'm going up, amen. I'm not looking forward to the undertaker. I'm looking forward to the upper taker, amen. And I can't wait for that day to happen. I'm not pushing it. My doctors think I'm pushing it, amen. They don't like me traveling. They said, what are you going to do if you die while you're traveling? So then I'll get buried where I'm at. Don't worry about it. If you're gonna pay for my graveside, then you take care of it, amen. Fly me back. I'm fine. My wife and I had that deal years ago. That wherever I die is where I get buried. Wherever she dies is where she gets buried. I was always afraid though, if I died driving a truck, she'd just knock me out, push me into the ditch somewhere, and she'd just keep on going. I'm sure she has thought about for some things I've done over the years, because unlike most men, I'm really smart, you know. He said, listen, I would gather my children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Years ago when I was pastoring, I got to take a sip of water. Years ago when I was pastoring up in Michigan, I had a lady in the church. Her name was Marge, and her husband's name was Mike, and Marge was saved, and Mike was still attending he was mad at the Catholic Church at the time, so he wasn't attending anymore. But he would only come to the church for special occasions, you know, if his grandkids were maybe in a play or something at our church where I was pastoring or something like that, then he would show up. Maybe he would tell you that he would be a CEO Christian, and that would be Christmas and Easter only. Amen. So he said that he would not come, but then he got sick. And he worked for the college in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, Central Michigan University. And he got sick. He came down with Legionnaire's pneumonia. And he was in the hospital. Now, Mike was 80 years old, or 78 years old maybe at the time. Not very young. And he was in the hospital like 10 days. He doesn't even remember me coming and visiting with him in the hospital. Doesn't remember his wife being there. Wanted to commit suicide. He was talking crazy. He was hallucinating. The whole bit. I mean, he was sick. He was out of it. But then he got better. And he came home. And the day after he came home, I called his wife, Marge, on the phone. I said, Marge, can I come over and visit with Mike? She said, yeah, you can do that. And so I went over to visit with Mike and sat down in a chair, and he sat in kitty corner for me in another chair. And I said, Mike, I said, how do you feel about what happened at the hospital? He said, well, he said, God saved me. I said, okay, God saved you. What do you mean God saved you? He said, yeah, he said, I'm alive. He saved me from dying. You know, I said, oh. I said, okay, Mike, I said, you ever think of this? That maybe God saved you physically so that he can now save you spiritually? And it was like this, click, like a light bulb came on. And he looks at me and he says, I need to be saved, don't I? I said, you sure do. And I sat there and led him for the Lord, you know. And he told me a story a few years later at the church, about a year later at the church. He told me a story. And I think I was preaching on this text, not this. This is a brand new message, but I hit this text talking about Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, underneath God's wings. And And he said, you know, he said, when I was a little boy, about 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, he said, we had a prairie fire where we lived. And he said, they came across the fields. He said, it took all the wheat, took all the everything. It just wiped everything out, burned a house to the ground, burned a barn to the ground, burned our farm all up. There was nothing left of it. And he said, my mom and dad are over there and they're trying to sort through things. If they can find anything in the house that they can salvage yet. But he said, it was gone. He said, I'm walking through the yard and there's a clump in the yard. And he said, I hauled off and I kicked it with my foot. And when I kicked it, a bunch of these little chickens ran out from underneath this clump. It was a mother hen who took her wings and she covered up her chicks. And they survived the fire. She did not, but they survived the fire. Reminds me here, oh, what reward thee, O God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come? He said, I would have Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I'd gather thy children together as hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Let me make a statement here to you. Don't take yourself, don't deny the covering of God in your life. Don't deny it. God is good to you. He's good to you. You say, Brother Mike, you don't know. God is good to you. Accept it, that He's good to you, that He loves you. So that's a place where believers and saints gather together. There's one more in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. I'll read this one. It reads this way. He said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, if you notice a lot of these verses we looked at, it talk about trust and trust and trust and trust. And here he ends up with the word trust, under whose wings thou art come to trust. It's a place where you learn, listen, it's a place where you learn to trust God. Under his wings is a place where you learn to trust him. Now, so many times we have a tendency to lift those wings up and maybe step out on their own. That's not what God intends for you. You're not losing your salvation. You're still saved going to heaven. But man, you find yourself all of a sudden where you're praying and your prayers aren't going where you find yourself where you're reading your Bible and you're not getting anything out of it. You're not getting a blessed thing because you're not in God's will in your Christian life. You say, well, I'm not living wicked. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not living immorally. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not in fornication. I'm not a drunk. I'm not doing these things, Mike. No. But I tell you what, you don't have to do those things not to be not right with God. Maybe you have bitterness. Maybe there's anger. Amen. Maybe there's harsh feelings. Something that's keeping your mind away from the Lord. We talked about that last night. What is your mind? Where's your mind at? And tonight, where are you covered with his wings? Don't leave his covering. Don't deny God's covering for you. Stay where he wants you to be. Do what he wants you to be and take comfort in what he wants you to be. Follow him and obey him and trust him and walk with him and listen and believe him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Two questions. And I know you already know what the first one is. If you've been here, you know what the first one is. Is this. Has there been a time in your life when you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and call upon him to forgive you for your sin and to save you by his grace? Have you done that? If you say, Mike, I've done that. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. No doubt in my mind. Would you just put up your hand? I know I'm saved. Just stick it up in the air. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. If you could not put up your hand. And I am in no wise, I will not embarrass you. All right, hear me? I will not embarrass you. But if you could not put up your hand, nobody else is looking. No one is looking. I would like to have you just look up here at me for just a second. Would you do that? If you couldn't put up your hand, you couldn't put up your hand. Just look up here. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to make you speak out loud or anything. I just want to ask you a question and want you to look at me. I don't see anybody looking. I hope that means you are saved. I hope so. Second question. Mike, or thought, Mike, would you pray for me tonight that I will take comfort under the wings of God like I should and not fight him? Would you pray for me that way tonight? How about right now? Just an upraised hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. A number of hands. Amen. You can put them down. God bless you. God bless you. Others? How about tonight? Anybody else tonight? God bless you, sister. Amen. God bless you, brother. I see your hand. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. Amen. Praise a number of hands tonight. Anybody else tonight? Before I go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And you raise your hand. I'm going to ask you like I have done every night so far, every service so far. The Lord spoke to your heart. Did you mean business? If you meant business, then slip out and come to the altar. Come on. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Come on. You just come. There's plenty of room up here yet on this side. There's room up there, ladies. Come on up. Make room for others behind you. Come on up. Father, you are so good to us. And Father, I ask right now as these folks have stepped forward, Lord, that they would pray to you and they pour their heart out to you, Father. If there's something that's hindering them from being where they ought to be under your wings, I pray that you help them to confess that to you and get that right, and that you would have all the honor and the glory. Now I pray for them, Father, and I ask God that you have your will and your way accomplished in their lives, Father. Help them, Lord, please, as only you can help. Lord, we think we can help sometimes. We think that we can preach your word, Father, but it's your Holy Spirit that does the work. Help us, dear God. Help them tonight as they have listened to the Spirit of God speaking to their hearts. Strengthen them, Lord, please. And use them to your honor and to your glory. And we will give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Tom.